All right, let's all get seated and let's get ready to get studying the soldiers of Christ. The visitors, it's just simply a question and answer type of thing. There's a manual that we have. There's these copies of the questions. And if you have lost your copy and you need another copy, let us know. Or if you're here for the first time and you want a copy of these, just raise your hand. There's somebody's hand already being raised. Marion, it is so good to see you back. That means so much to all of us to have you. Anybody else need a copy? Yes, there are several hands. David, if you'll come and take care of all of that. Just keep your hands up, then you'll have your own copies of it. And the very nature of the cards, once you get them, there are three different cards. There's a prophet card, a priest card, and there's the king card. And that's what you'll have tonight. The questions, all of the questions tonight come from the prophet card, except three of them, and three of them come from the priest card. Just keep your hands up, and we'll get to this. Let me ask you this. As we begin talking about the soldiers of Christ and the birth of John the Baptist, why are we talking about this? Because chronologically, the birth of John is foretold before the birth of Jesus. And so we got, if you're going to study the Bible introduces the birth of John. David, there's one, okay. And so you've got all of those things that are there. And so you've got to study this individual John. Well, why is John important? Because of what we've talked about when we looked at Isaiah 35, the number of prophecies in the Old Testament. Does anybody, by any stretch of the imagination, have any idea of how many prophecies there are in the Old Testament? Now, don't be timid. Just whisper it out as loud as you can. How many prophecies are there in the Old Testament? Oh, you can whisper loud. That is really, really good. 332. That's remarkable, isn't it? That's faith building. In fact, the amazing thing is, the question was asked when Jesus came, if this man is not the Messiah, he's already fulfilled 332 of the prophecies, how will we even know that the Messiah has come? And that's the reason all of those prophecies that are there. Now then, here's a question, and I hope you'll know the answer to this. Who was the forerunner of Jesus? The forerunner is somebody who runs in the front of. Who was that individual who was the forerunner of Jesus? That, by the way, is on the prophet card. You see that question there, the forerunner of Jesus. Who is that? John the Baptist. Oh, you're doing good. You read well, or you can look on the screen now, and you will be able to find that. Now, we talked about John the Baptist, and we're going to take just a few minutes and look at prophecies regarding John in the Old Testament. It's not just all of a sudden it just pops up in the New Testament. There's one prophecy that we'll not spend much time looking at, though we shall mention it, and that's the one in Isaiah chapter 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Remember, that's as you read the New Testament, that's the way John in the book of Matthew, his birth is not told in the book of Matthew, but when John comes on the scene, guess how that chapter begins? That within three verses of John being introduced, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But John is likened to an Old Testament prophet. If I ask you this, and this might help you answer that question, you know any Old Testament prophet that was clothed with camel's hair, had a John, Old Testament, somebody in the Old Testament. Elijah, that's great. Who said that? Levi, were you the one who said? All right, Caleb. Way to go, Caleb. I thought that was Eli's voice. Okay, thank you. And so here's John the Baptist. What's unusual about him? He's out in the wilderness. You know the food that he ate. We'll get to that a little bit later, so we don't want to spend any time at all. But he had a very unusual diet, John the Baptist did, out there in the wilderness. But the Bible said that there's going to come someone who is like Elijah. Guess what book that's found in? In the closing chapter, in the last three verses of the Old Testament. John the Baptist is prophesied. The coming of John the Baptist is prophesied in the last three verses of the Old Testament. Now then, let's look at the book of Malachi. That's where that is, because you see, in the book of Malachi, we got Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, because in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "Behold, I will send my messengers, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will come suddenly in his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." Who's the messenger of the covenant? That's evidently the Lord. He is the one that is going to come. "But I am going to send before I come," Messiah talking, "before I come, I am going to send my messengers, and he shall prepare the way before me." That's an amazing description of him. Isaiah chapter 40 uses the illustration of a king traveling on his journey. Got this picture? Imagine the roads. Imagine the potholes there would have been in those ancient roads. Figuratively, it says, before the king comes, that forerunner is going to come. He's going to fill in all the potholes, going to smooth out the road. And that was the work that John the Baptist did. Not literally, but he was the forerunner. And Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 says, "I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." Who's that? Well, if you'd heard that in that day, you might not have fully understood it. But when you get to the very next chapter, look in chapter 4 of the book. These are the closing verses. The last thing God said in the Old Testament. How many years between the Old Testament and the New Testament? About 400 years. There have been prophets all the time. From Samuel on, there have always been prophets. And all of a sudden, God says, "I've said everything I'm going to say. Put a period here. I'm not going to say anything else." And the last thing God said for 400 years, for 400 years, he says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful, fearful day of the Lord." Oh, wait a minute. Your God is coming with vengeance. And before that day comes, the great day of judgment, he says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, and he will come and do this, lest I strike the earth with a curse." You're reading, you're a Jewish person. The last thing God says is, "If I don't send you Elijah, I'm going to curse this earth." The last verse of the New Testament talks about grace. The last thing he said in the book of Revelation is grace. The last thing he says in Malachi is curse. And for 400 years, they were waiting for this Elijah to come. They were waiting for this Elijah to come. There's a key verse. "He will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children." Are you aware? These very words are words applied to John the Baptist by God himself. Now let's get to that. Let's get to that occasion. Anybody have any idea who the parents of John the Baptist were? Zacharias and Elizabeth. Very good. Brilliant. Okay, you read well. Zacharias and Elizabeth. What do you know about him? He's a priest serving down at the temple, and he's there serving in the temple. They're old. They don't have any children. And suddenly, there is that individual, and to look at the verses there that are on the screen, Luke chapter 1, verse 5, "In the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And the angel said to him," and we're skipping down to verse 13, "said to Zacharias, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife will bear you a son.'" Wait a minute. Wonder what he's praying about. I don't know if I'd ever felt the force of that until I really got to thinking about it just right here. Wonder what he had been praying about. Your prayer is heard and your wife will have a child. That's remarkable. We think about Hannah praying in the temple. Here's another individual praying in the temple and the angel. Anybody, by any chance, could you tell me the name of that angel? Do you know the name of that angel? Gabriel. And it's in the priest card. Now we're headed down to where the priest cards are. So you'll find that not on the prophet card, but go to the next card, the priest card, there's the name of that angel. We just put the verse on the screen so you can see. Luke chapter 1, verse 19, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. I am Gabriel. I am that one who has been sent by God to bring you these glad tidings. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name, John. Isn't that remarkable? John. What do we know about John? Can we look at those slides that talk about the greatness of John? Who's the most important person in the Bible? Would you ever think about John being one of the most important people in the Bible? Who was that individual that was the greatest in the Bible? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, among them that are born of women, there's not arisen one as great as John. I have some slides about that, and if you can find those, I've gotten my slides out of order up here evidently. Nobody's been risen greater than John. Is that where you'd put him? Among those that are born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. The name of the slide is, the large one says, the greatness of John. You need to think about it. Here's the slide. Forget about the slide. Hear what I'm saying. Watch this. Of all the people that had been born when Jesus said that, nobody had ever been born greater than John the Baptist. Wait a minute. What about David? What about Moses? What about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Among those that are born of women, there has not been one risen that's greater than John the Baptist. That's remarkable. Do you know why this study is important? Do you know why we need to know as much as we can possibly know about John? It's because Jesus said, here is the greatest man that has ever been born. And then he adds something else to it. In reference to the greatness of John, he says, but there is somebody greater than John. And you immediately think about Jesus. And that's true. But he says, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. But you look around this room, you're going to find the least important person in this room. You feel like that yourself sometimes. You know how we have inferiority complex and we think that, at least I got mentioned in the Bible, you know, the least in the kingdom of heaven. I'm right at the bottom rung, you know. He that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Wait a minute. If John is greater than Moses, if John is greater than Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, what does it say about you? if you're greater than John? What does that mean? It's tied to the kingdom. Do you understand that when the Bible says someone is coming? We had this question, well, the last time I taught this, the three things that Jesus would be. This might help you if I say he'll be a prophet, he'll be a priest, and you know the third one? He'll be a king. Jesus came and established on this earth the kingdom, the church. How important is it to be in the church? The Bible said, if you're the least person in the kingdom of heaven, you're greater than John. How can that be? You want to tell you? John never was in the kingdom. I want you to think about that. And then think of the blessings that you have. Think about what you know about John, or pardon me, about Jesus that John never, ever, ever knew. Think about your knowledge. And think about the understanding that you have that even John did not fully understand, even though he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." You and I know exactly how he takes away the sins of the world. You and I fully understand that. John didn't understand that. You're greater than John, because you are a part of that which was purchased by the very blood of Jesus. And John's relationship to God was through that Old Testament. But the New Covenant is called a better covenant, built upon better promises, and that's the very thing that you understand. You're greater than John in what you know. John didn't understand it. John never understood the Lord's Supper. John never understood what it was like to pray in the name of Jesus. John never understood, and you start filling in the blanks, all of the things, the redemptive works of Jesus. John never understood it, but you understand it. Now let me tell you this. John's message was great. He is coming. I am the forerunner. He is coming. You know what your message is? He's here. He has come. And the rest of Isaiah 35 is the very thing David talked about in this morning about that highway to heaven, the highway of holiness. That's in Isaiah 35. You know what that highway to holiness is. And all of that says we have a greater message than that of John. I know I'm preaching, but what if John had folded up his hands and said, "I'm not going to tell anybody about it"? What if there'd never been a John the Baptist who went before to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus? And think about us. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be involved in a gospel meeting with a message that says, not, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." We know all about the Lamb of God. We know for sure exactly who that individual was. And so we got the message. We got the message of the coming of Jesus. Let's go back then to the birth of John. Let's get back on track. And that was that angel, Gabriel, announced the birth of Jesus But there was a sign given. It's interesting. Zechariah, you're having trouble believing this. I'm going to give you a sign. What was the sign that was given to Zechariah? You will be unable to speak until the child is born. I don't know, Maxine. If Zacharias knew sign language. Isn't that amazing? We don't know. But deaf people had a way of telling everybody. And Maxine, I thought about you as I thought about this very lesson. Here's Zacharias. He's seen an angel. That angel says, you're going to have a son. Your wife, who is real old, is going to become pregnant, and you're going to be a father, and you're to name your son John. I wonder how he told them. I don't know. You want to figure that out? You guys want to tell me? I'm sure there was some way. But you want to let this story come alive. You become Zacharias and you go home. You know? And all of a sudden you're home and you've got the greatest message anybody could ever have. The Messiah is going to be born. You know what that angel told Zacharias? Listen to this. That your son shall go before the Messiah, listen, in the spirit and of Elijah, the spirit and power of Elijah. Wait a minute. You think, in view of the fact that's the last thing God had said, that before the coming of the Messiah, I will send that forerunner and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to the fathers. And Zacharias, that angel said, Zacharias, you remember the last thing God said? It's been 400 years since he said anything, and he's going to say something. Listen, Zechariah, your son is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And he's deaf. How you get the message out? Can I say something again? Gospel meeting in 2 weeks' time. Zacharias found out a way to do it. I don't know what sign they had for angels. I don't know how he told all of these things. Obviously, he could write. And the Bible did not say he could not hear. So here's this discussion going on. What shall we name the baby? What shall we name the baby? And they came, Zacharias, what do you want to name this child? You want to name him Zacharias Jr.? You understand? And John demanded that they bring a writing paper, a slate of some kind. And John wrote on that plate, on that slate, on that paper, his name is John. And the minute he wrote the name John, he was able to speak. Now, that which John the Baptist, that which Zacharias had struggled to tell others about, Zacharias got a message. And 2 weeks from now, this church has a message. The forerunner, one of the 332 prophecies in the Old Testament, has come. And he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he turned the hearts of their fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers. And God is not going to come and strike the earth with a curse. Because behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What are you going to do? Zacharias might have had a reason not to tell others about the coming of the Messiah. But not us. We know it. And we know about the coming of the Messiah. I want to end this section by asking you to look to Matthew chapter 11. That verse was in an earlier slide up there about that slide about John the Baptist. Because we live in a day and age in which Mormon elders sometimes come and knock on our door. And this is one of the prophecies that they use to say that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. Joseph Smith lived about, he wrote the Book of Mormon, it was published about 1830, so he was, born pretty close to the end of the 18th century, early part of the 19th century. And Joseph Smith told everybody that I was out in an area praying. And guess who appeared to me? Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah appeared to me and told me, as the story develops, where the golden plates were for the Book of Mormon. And this is the very passage they go to. God said, I am going to send you Elijah and John, and God sent Elijah to Joseph Smith. You know what that ignores? Everything that we've studied already tonight. But look in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, starting in verse 9 or 10, what did you go out in the wilderness to see when you went out to hear John? Did you go out there to see a man in fancy clothes? Go see a televangelist driving his Mercedes? That's not who he was. He says, those who wear clothing like that live in the king's house. What'd you go out to see? A prophet? Far more than a prophet. You know why John's greater than Moses and Elijah? He was honored to be able to say, behold the Lamb of God. He was honored because he was the forerunner of Jesus. And then there's that quotation from Isaiah chapter 40, from Malachi, I will send my messenger before you who shall prepare your ways before you. Surely I say unto you, among those born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And from the days of John, verse 12 says, until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. He says, for all the prophets prophesied until John. You know what happened? Now a new kind of prophet has come. Not a prophet that says someone is coming. And they prophesied until John. But when John arrived, John says, he's here. And since the time of John, the kingdom of heaven has been preached. That's remarkable, isn't it? That's why he was greater than John the Baptist. I think it is interesting in chapter 17. You got your Bibles open? Turn over to chapter 17, where the apostles, at least three of them, had seen Jesus at the transfiguration. And it's amazing their question after they had seen this. They said to Jesus, "Why do individuals say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus' answer is, because the Bible said he must first come. And when he came, they did violence to him. And then they understood that he spake to them of John the Baptist. Those Mormon elders. That prophecy in the Old Testament about coming of John the Baptist, or pardon, the coming of Elijah, finds its fulfillment in Joseph Smith when he claimed to have seen Elijah out in that forest area. You know what Jesus says? When he said they did what they wanted to do with John, he said, "I tell you, they did that. Elijah has already come, and they did to him whatever they wanted to." And they understood that he spake to them of John the Baptist. They did not misunderstand. You want to know who misunderstands the prophecy of the coming of Elijah? The entirety of the Mormon religion is tied directly to the fact that Joseph Smith said that Elijah came and Elijah laid his hands on me, and that gives me the right to start this new religion based on the fact that God fulfilled his prophecy about the coming of Elijah. When he came to me, Joseph Smith says, in that woody area up there in New York. True Christianity is based on the coming of Elijah, who was John the Baptist, not literally, but in the spirit of Elijah. True Christianity is based on that Elijah. And the religion of Mormonism is based on a false claim and absolutely a false application of the words of the Bible. That's enough for tonight. We'll take this up next week.